Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to first thank those joining us on the radio dial here at 92.3 FM. We also welcome our good friends joining us online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com, whether you listen to us through our switchboard, our live chat, or even joining us through our podcast. We're glad to have all of you with us. We have a great half hour coming up for you today. We're going to kick things off by speaking to author Micaiah Hart. She's here to talk to us about her personal journey in life and what led her to write the book My Sweet Wild Dance. It's not her only book, but we're going to talk about this journey that she's been on, her search for self-discovery, and also what she hopes all of you learn about your own personal purposes. Then at 15 minutes past the hour, we do have joining us author Dan Romaine. He's the author of the new book, The Quaker State Affair. He's going to talk to us about it. It really is ripped from the headlines, talking about some of the very issues that we see when we turn on the news today. I want to talk to Dan about how his background in business helped him to prepare for writing a book like this, and also what he hopes the readers take away from it as well. Again, a great half hour coming up. Glad you all could join us for the program. As I said, Micaiah Hart is joining us live here at the top of our program. Micaiah, welcome to Conversations Live.
Hello, Cyrus. I'm very happy to be on the show. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, thank you. And did I say it correctly that time, Micaiah? Is that correct?
Micaiah, yes, you did. You got it right.
Okay, great. Right. Well, you are joining us live today from Australia, and we really do appreciate you taking it out of time. The book, My Sweet Wild Dance, I was telling you before we went on, I really did enjoy it, and there were such great messages, I think, in it. Before we get into that with our listeners, Micaiah, I'm sorry. I keep wanting to call you Micaiah. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But Micaiah, before we get into the book, I want to talk about what this has been like for you to be so open and to let people into your world the way that you have.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I would say it's the kind of person I am. I've been completely obsessed with sort of getting to the depth of the real truth about everything since I was very little, much to my parents' embarrassment, if I may add, because I was always asking awkward questions. You know, when I wrote the book, I just wrote it the words that came through my heart, and I didn't think about people reading it. So I must admit that sometimes now somebody says to me, "Oh, I just read your book, My Sweet Wild Dance," and my first reaction is, "Oh no!" They know everything about me, and I know nothing about them.
Right.
And that said, you know, I'm very glad that I wrote that book because a lot of people have told me that it was inspiring for them to read it and that it really made them think about their own choices they've made in the world and why, you know, how they can change the way things are in their lives for the better. And, you know, that makes me really happy.
Micaiah, I will have to say this. When I was reading the book and then even going back through my notes as I was getting ready for this conversation with you, one of the things that strikes me is the belief that so many of us have about the different areas and cycles of our lives. And I guess what I mean by that is when you're younger, you think, oh, I just can't wait till I'm 17 or 18 and out of the house and my life's going to be totally different. Mm-hmm. And you, Micaiah, in the book, you come to a realization that a lot of us do, that adulthood is not just about freedom. And even relative at that point in adulthood, freedom is not all that it's cracked up to be. What has that been like for you to still, even as an adult, have to kind of rein yourself in and know that you're not in total control of the world around you?
Right. Well, I do rail against it, and I do rail against it. But my reaction has been the more I have realized how I've towed the line and I've accepted other people's limited expectations of me, and you know I've played a particular kind of game because it's a game that everybody else played or plays. And the more I've seen that, the more I've got clarity about how I do that, the more I've actually been able to look and see, well, do I really want to play that game? Do I really want to toe that line? Do I really want to live up to those expectations? And more I've been able to choose my own way, which sometimes is about playing the game, but doing it perhaps in a different way with more consciousness. So, like, I in a certain situation, I might, you know, I might phrase things a certain way so that I'm not going to alarm people, perhaps most of all, because my views in general are pretty radical, and I don't want to alienate people. I want to be able to get along with people and communicate, and sometimes that requires being aware of what their expectations and needs are.
Exactly. I totally agree with that, Micaiah. For those that are just tuning in, either on the radio dial or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We have Micaiah Hart is joining us live from Australia today, talking to us about her own personal journey and the book My Sweet Wild Dance. And Micaiah, with this book, you take us into parts of your life that a lot of people would not be comfortable in discussing. But I'm curious about something that you just said, and that is the idea of railing against it. And so many times we think of that as a bad thing, but I think if we're truly honest, the women's movement, the civil rights movement, all of those had to do with going against what would have been accepted and what was considered the norm. Do you think that's something that all of us have to learn to do, that we can't just box ourselves in, that we have to be able to look outside and really dance by our own music?
Well, I think that the world is in a process of huge change right now. And yes, I would say we are all being required to look at what we really want in our lives as individuals and to look beyond the limitations that society places on us. And really, speaking for me personally and for most of the people I know, when we start expanding our way of thinking about what life is, then life itself expands in the most remarkable ways, in really extraordinary ways. And that's very exciting, and I really encourage people to do that. And on the other hand, if you're perfectly happy with your life the way it is, sure, just, you know, I'm not saying you have to change just because, you know, I'm saying it'd be better if you did change. That's not true. People really need to decide for themselves what they want and do they want to change. And, you know, we tend as a culture to be afraid of change. And sometimes people fall back into what is familiar just because it's familiar, because it's comfortable just because it's familiar. And sometimes it actually isn't particularly pleasant. It isn't actually really what they want, if they really look at what they want and move beyond the anxiety and fear that tends to keep them in certain specific molds, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, one thing I've talked about some of my sexual experiences very candidly in the book, and I do feel that there are certain areas, and sex is one of them, where we tend to avoid talking about things because it's embarrassing. We feel it's embarrassing, and I do actually think that for the benefit of the world at large, it is actually very often a really good thing to just start talking openly about those things. There would be much less childhood molest and sexual abuse if we talked openly about our feelings. And you know, it's just what happened. It's what happened at the time. There's nothing wrong with what your feelings are about those things. And when we talk about them with other people, and especially with our partners, our intimate partners, all kinds of things can change. So I really encourage people to just be more open in general.
Right. Be more open in general, and I think, too, being more accepting as well. You're right. You're very open about that. And I think that is a conversation that needs to be had more of, and I think I totally agree with you that we could actually cut down on a lot of the vices that are out there if people were more open. And something that we talk about on this program a lot, Micaiah, is the importance of walking in your truth, being honest with yourself, and then being comfortable sharing that truth with the world, not beating people over the head with it, but being able to share that in a way where people can understand who we really are. Because it seems like to me, Makai, and I'll let you speak to this, not to put words in your mouth, one of the biggest things for you that was a turning point was being able to say that you were okay. There was nothing wrong with you. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I certainly would. I was very fortunate because in my, well, I grew up in Scotland and I moved to Northern California when I was 30. And there was an acceptance, more of an acceptance of people and just people being who they are and people being different in Northern California than I had ever met in Europe. And so I started to feel more okay with myself because I felt like people around me were more okay with me. And then I went into therapy because I had a lot of ongoing anger about my the way I'd been treated as a child. And I just was fortunate to have the most wonderful therapist who just really, really encouraged me to be me and in whatever way I was called to be me. And that was really, it was wonderful. It was really wonderful. And, you know, in terms of oughts and shoulds and telling other people what to do, it's not my business to tell anyone what to do. People need to decide for themselves. And, of course, in order to decide for yourself, you have to be able to separate yourself from influences around you that are pushing you to behave a certain way. And those influences were very strong for me as a child. I was really everybody around me was trying to force me into a box, which I did not fit into.
Right, right.
You know, I really understand how difficult it can be to counter those influences, but it's important for all of us to get in touch with our own inner sense of what is right and wrong. And everybody can access that, but it can sometimes take practice.
Yeah.
And it's easier when you're older.
And for you, it included a physical transition, a move, even being able to start anew in a sense. And I think what is so great about your book, Makai, is that it helps us to see it doesn't have to be a physical move, but just a move of the mind, of our thought process, can help us to be able to transition in a way where we can begin to look at the world and ourselves differently, correct?
Yes, exactly. And sometimes a physical move can help you to change your view of the world, and sometimes changing your view of the world can help you to see that you need to make a physical move. But sometimes the physical move is not necessary. You can just work with your mind. I mean, one of the things I did very, very specifically was to start working with my thoughts so that I would see the glass as half full instead of half empty, because I realized I had been very focused on what was wrong with the world and what needed to be changed. And it wasn't doing me any good in the end. It was a focus on what was negative, and it was constantly pulling me into a negative space. And when I looked at what was really, really important in my life, I saw that the most important thing to me was to be in a place of joy, because when I myself am in a place of joy, I actually am offering the world that joy. And it's more effective, really, in changing the world for the better than anything that you can do or have, is to be who you are and to choose joy. So in the end, if there's one thing that I want, that one message that I want that book to pass on, it is that it's possible for any of us to change. We have to really commit to the choice without any qualifications, and that then we can truly have a beneficial effect on everything around us.
Exactly. I totally agree with that, Makai. Again, Makai Hart has been our guest, discussing her newest book, My Sweet Wild Dance. She's the author of other works as well. You can find out more information about her online. Makai, where's the best place for our listeners to go to find out more information about you and your previous work?
Well, probably my website, mikayahart.org, and that's M-I-K-A-Y-A-H-E-A-R-T.org. And I've got information about all my previous and upcoming books on that website.
Yeah. We didn't get much into spirituality and the role that it's played in your life, Micaiah, but if you had to give advice for individuals out there who are looking to pursue their own passion, what would you tell them about the beginning, about how to start on that process?
Well, you have to be willing to be absolutely honest with yourself. And sometimes that involves admitting that you're not happy with who you are. But once you can admit that, then you can change it. And the other aspect is to begin to be able to see what I call the vastness of being, which is that this physical world around us is only a minute proportion of what is occurring. And when we can tap into unseen energies, we actually can access all kinds of assistance on our path. However you may see that in terms of, you know, spiritual guides or just energy that's available to you, you know, that is
right.
Really empowering.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Yeah.
Micaiah, it's been such a pleasure speaking with us again. The author Micaiah Hart joining us live from Australia today. Her new book, My Sweet Wild Dance, is available now. Again, you can find out more information about her by going to her website, micaiahhart.org. That's www.micaiahart.org is where you can go. Micaiah, please stay in contact with us. We'd love to speak with you again.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Cyrus. It's been a pleasure to speak with you.
Well, same here. We hope you have a great afternoon. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have author Dan Romain will be joining us live to talk about his brand new book, The Quaker State Affair. You're listening to Conversations Live on the radio at 92.3 FM and online worldwide through blogtalkradio.com.
Geico has some bad news. There is no money tree, and there is no gold at the end of the rainbow. However, Geico could save you hundreds on your car insurance. No matter what the competition says, Geico has been saving people so much money, over 4 million drivers switched last year. So call Geico for a free rate quote today. It's easier than trying to shake down a leprechaun.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
Dan Romain is an individual who has been quite successful in business. Now he's beginning a new career as an author. His book, The Quaker State Affair, is one of those books that really seems ripped from the headlines. We're going to talk to him not only about where the love of writing came from, but what he hopes you as readers take away from the book. Dan, welcome to Conversations Live.
Hey, Cyrus, how you doing?
Doing really well. Thanks a lot for joining us this afternoon.
You bet.
Well, enjoyed the book, Dan. I think this is what is so interesting about this book. When I first read it, it was like, okay, you know, it is one of those books that, of course, is a great mixture of fiction, storytelling, but also events that a lot of readers are resonating with right now because we're hearing so much about it. Before we get into the Quaker State Affair, take us on this journey for you, because I mentioned you've been quite successful in business and in consulting. When did you first realize that writing was something that you were interested in?
You know, it's one of those things where you kind of go through life and you're having some success, and people along the way say, because you're much of the work I did, you know, involved writing and communication, they always go, hey, you know, you ought to write a book. And I kept thinking, well, you know, I'm not doing so bad doing what I'm doing, but it kept gnawing on me. And later in life, I'm 55 now and retired about 5 years ago. I decided, you know, I'm going to scratch that itch. And so I took a look at some areas that interest me greatly, business, geopolitical events, things like that. Always been a fascination. And I started to scratch out some thoughts. And it felt to me as though no one really wanted to read from a first-time, you know, author about what he thinks without, you know, national notoriety. So I kind of punted and went the novel route, which I found very challenging, and I'm really glad I did. So that's kind of how it all, the genesis of it started.
Yeah. Well, you introduced us to characters, even taking us all the way to the White House, Dan, but characters that are not only realistic, but it seems as though, I mean, you spent quite a bit of time with them because they're so well developed. How long did it take you from beginning and end to map out this journey that became the Quaker State Affair?
It started about 3 years ago, maybe even a tad before that. Mm-hmm. And I started working on the book, the concepts, doing a little research. I've been fortunate enough to have very dear friends that are in very high levels of international finance and scratching around with them on some thoughts. And about halfway through it, it felt to me as though I was writing a book that was beginning to unfold as I wrote it.
Right.
And then I realized, you know, the time it takes to get to print and to get it published, and I felt like we're going to be reading old news. So I had to go back and kind of reboot the process and be a little longer term in my view. Mm-hmm. So long answer to short, about 3.5 years from start to finish.
And it's, you just made an interesting point that I was going to get to, because, and that's why I was wondering about the timeline for our listeners, because some of the things you talk about, of course, is the conflict with China. You talk about, of course, the economic meltdown that, you know, it seems to be looming here in the United States. Also the issues, you know, with things like oil, of course, the way that we look at terrorism, and also even the roles of elected officials in either helping the problem or being a part of the problem. Has it really resonated with you how people have read this book and said, you know what, you're writing a book about the times that we're in now and the decisions that we're now facing?
It seems to be the overwhelming, you know, my overwhelming takeaway is that people are looking at this book and going, this is kind of creepy if you wrote it 3 years ago. And I've been asked the question, we've gotten some very nice reviews, very reassuring to a first-time author. So I've been contacted by one individual in particular, and he just says, you know, where did this book come from? And about the best way I can answer it is I think the book wrote itself. It felt to me as though these things were coming. I mean, I got that twinge several years prior to when we got out of our business. We kind of saw things happening in finance, international finance, a lot of things happening. And it felt as though after the big dumpster fire of 2009 in the economy, it felt like, okay, the longer-term view looks like this, and I think that's what you're reading in the book.
Right. Right.
For those, I don't know if I answered your question or not, but
Yeah, you did. you did, Ted. I just want to say, to reset, for those joining us on the radio dial and online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking with author Dan Romaine. He's the author of the new book, The Quaker State Affair, a fascinating book that takes you into events that, and I mean, there's just no other way to say it. We're reading about this almost every week. We're seeing it kind of play out for us. And do you think, Dan, because this is one of the things I thought when I originally read the book last month, and that was the fact that this book and the response will show that we really are paying more attention to what's going on than we're giving credit for. And I guess what I mean by that is a lot of people say, oh, you know, well, those are not issues that are really important to the American people or to, you know, the quote-unquote regular folks. But don't you think that the response to the book shows that it is? These are things that we are concerned about and that we are looking for who is going to provide the best answers.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And you said it very well. The responses that I'm getting aren't coming from ordinary people, because they seem to be, the ordinary person just seems to be a heck of a lot more than ordinary. Their tuning forks are seem to be on, and universally the question seems to revolve around not just the temporal issues of today, but, you know, what's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to the future? And people who have been pretty much apolitical and desensitized by all the noise, earning a living or whatever, are kind of stepping back and go, you know, I found a book that reads like a story, which is great, because I can't really get my head around books that don't read like a story. And, man, is this stuff true? Is this really what's going on in this world?
Yeah.
And if so, what happens? So, yeah, I think you're exactly right on. That's the feedback we're getting.
Yeah. If I was, I was asked actually this question during our breakfast with books show earlier today, who would I think would gravitate toward this book? And it's so interesting to me because I believe anyone who's into the political action books would like it. But also, and I think you'll know, I mean, not to give it away for those that haven't read it yet, but even those that are into books like The Da Vinci Code and Angels and Demons will get into it as well, because there is this unraveling mystery that kind of goes through. And you have a great exchange, I have to say, with the President of the United States of the book, really getting a stern talking to, something that I think a lot of people in the country would like to do sometimes, to shake that elected official and say, you know, what are you doing? You know, do you know the ramifications of what you're doing? I think it's so great on that aspect. So when you kind of step back then from the response, step back from the messaging and even just the accomplishment of writing it, Dan, what do you hope that readers take away at the end? Because it is a great read, I mean, as a novel, but it's so much more than that. So what do you hope we take away from the story?
It's part of it was my biggest hope was just to get the noise out of my head, to get this message out. As far as my hope for the reader, yeah, that they continue to talk about these issues, that at some point they leave their current position, whether they're conservatives or they're progressives or Republicans or Democrats or whatever, that they leave that and they start to see a world in such a way that is a little bit less constraining and yet a little bit more of a requirement to get back into the I guess our founding and our founding principles and the guidance that has led this country to where it's at. And I guess the other thing that I would hope is that our country and our people, and I'm one of them, we all suffer from kind of a condition of gradualism where things kind of creep up on you, like bureaucratic creep. And that's what's kind of happened to our country in the past 100 or so years. Things have kind of snuck up where, you know, the new normal has become the old normal. And it's my hope that this book kind of shakes people and goes, really? Is that really what happens when that one day finally comes? What's that world like when one day finally arrives?
Right.
We can't, and so that's kind of my hope.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, too, and I always appreciate someone who loves history. The lessons that you show, the parallels in the book with history and where we're on the road to, I think are great, too. There's that one scene. I can't remember exactly the setup, but going back to Nixon defaulting on an agreement.
Right.
And then you bring out, and the woman is saying to who's watching the television, you know, do you think that you want me to change the channel? And he says, no, it sounds like a friend of mine. And it just really, it really shows how, unfortunately, and sometimes fortunately, history repeats itself, but it really is up to us to be in control and to know where we're headed and know the ramifications that come from our decisions and our actions. And I think that's one of the great things about the book. Again, written as fiction, but so much more, I think, than that. We've been discussing the Quaker State Affair. This is really one that I think people will be talking about, Dan. It's very well written, very well presented, with characters that really do jump out from the page. Again, the author is Dan Romaine. Dan, I do have a couple more questions for you. One, we want to get your website out there for our listeners that are just finding out. The book is available on Amazon.com, but how else can our listeners find out more information about you?
TheQuakerStateAffair.com. Okay. Pretty straightforward. TheQuakerStateAffair.com. If you Google it, you know, a bunch of reviews and some other links will come up. But we have a nice web page, easy to order the book. It's discounted, and a little bit about us and who we are and who I am and kind of the genesis of it. Okay. You'll read a review from one of the free world's finance ministers, geniuses, a gentleman who was one of the co-founders and financiers of Amazon.com, ironically, that sells books, and he has written a beautiful endorsement for the book.
Right.
And so, yeah, that's how you find it.
Okay.
So and all the bookstores.
Yeah, the QuakerStateAffair.com is where you can go. And the final question I had for you, Dan, because I think you can speak to something that a lot of people, especially aspiring writers, know about the beginning. What advice do you give, because I know you've been getting this question, what advice do you give to individuals who feel like they have a story to tell and don't know really where to start? What do you normally tell them?
Sit down and just start typing. At some point, you're going to look at that work and you're going to go, okay, wait a minute, I need a roadmap. I need a whiteboard, a grease board. I need to plan this out. And once you get that plan as loosely defined as I suggested it can be, just start writing. And if you can't get the book published, there's wonderful self-publishing firms out there with terrific editors, and they'll make your book better. And expect to learn a lot from the first and do better for the second.
Yeah. I think that's great advice, Dan, and you know, it definitely has paid off for you. Again, a very well-written book. I'll be writing my review before the weekend. I encourage anyone who's read the book already to make sure you do that as well. Again, The Quaker State Affair, the author, Dan Romaine. The website, again, is www.thequakerstateaffair.com. And, Dan, look, you have an open policy here. Feel free to come back anytime. We'd love to speak with you again.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. That's going to do it for us for the afternoon edition of our program. I'll be back with you guys at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. That's 5 p.m. Pacific time for our friends on the West Coast for our primetime edition of Conversations Live. If you missed any part of my conversation with Dan or even Makaya, don't worry. You can catch the entire podcast about 5 minutes after we go off the air by going to our radio website, or you can find me on Facebook and Twitter. The links are there as well. Until then, my name is Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music and also a great book. Thanks for listening to Conversations Live. Have a great one.